Welcome back to part 5 of the Healing Marriage course. In this last section, we will be looking at the topic of deliverance and how the unseen or spiritual world can affect our lives and marriage and how we can pray for deliverance and get set free.
So far on the course, we've learned how to become one and communicate better and how we can deal with and overcome sin in marriage, as well as how to heal our inner wounds and painful memories. By the way, if you missed any of those sections, please go back and listen to them as they set an important foundation for what we're talking about here in this last section on deliverance. Throughout the course, we touched on the need for deliverance prayers in those areas as well, but in this section, we want to go deeper. We talk about the invisible world and how it can affect our marriage. This idea may be new for you. You may have little or no experience in this area, and yet the spiritual world is a reality we're all exposed to, and so it's worth knowing and understanding more about it.
A few years ago, I counseled a man who's an alcoholic, and his addiction was causing a lot of problems and stress in his marriage. One day, he was walking down the street and past the bar, and suddenly he heard an audible voice say to him, "Come on, let's go in and have a drink together." The man was so shocked by what he experienced that he immediately came to see me to ask me what I thought about it. Now, I had known this man for a while and I knew he had no mental health issues and a good job. Plus, he didn't believe in the existence of God and an unseen world, but suddenly he heard an audible voice out of the blue talking to him. He suddenly realized that an external power was influencing him and he felt like a puppet on a string. Before this experience, he had prided himself on being very independent and self-determined, but suddenly he realized that in this area of his life, at least, he was not in charge.
Thank you, Danny. That's an impressive example of someone here in Europe whose eyes were opened to the existence of the invisible spiritual world that we're talking about here in this section.
Yes, and he realized that it could affect him and his marriage. In fact, you know, his wife was a Christian and she had felt for a long time that this invisible world was affecting him and their marriage, and she was praying for him.
We're talking here about deliverance and learning how to pray for deliverance in marriage. We ourselves had experience with deliverance ministry for several years before we got married. We had helped many people in different countries to get set free through deliverance, and we'd seen many great changes in their lives. But Danny, how did deliverance suddenly become such an important topic in our own marriage?
Well, deliverance is such a fantastic tool and has really helped us overcome so many problems in our marriage that had demonic roots, so we really want to encourage you all to learn how to pray for deliverance in marriage. But you ask me how deliverance became such an important topic in our marriage. It all started when I wanted to hug you shortly after our wedding. You remember, probably.
Yeah.
and you rejected me and put your arms protectively in front of your head. I thought to myself, that's not normal. And we prayed to the Holy Spirit to show us exactly what was going on.
That's right. And I remember the Holy Spirit brought a memory from my early childhood up in my mind when someone from the house next door or the neighborhood tried to abuse me. And we then prayed for healing using the memories prayers that we shared in the last section, part 4 of the course. We also used the deliverance prayers that we want to share with you later in this section to command every spirit that had gained access to my life through that frightening incident to leave me.
And the amazing thing was that after we prayed for healing and deliverance for that abuse in your childhood, you never reacted like that again when I came to give you a hug.
No, I didn't. And in fact, I really started to welcome and enjoy your hugs. And also, I noticed that the tension I'd experienced around our sexual intimacy was also suddenly gone. I was able to open up much more to you.
Yeah, and we began to understand more and more that when we are not free as individuals in certain areas of our lives, this affects our marriage. But when we get healed and delivered, our marriage can get so much better.
Yes, it can. And we experienced this so many times over the years that something came up in one of us, didn't we? And the Holy Spirit showed us what it was. We experienced such wonderful healing and deliverance through Jesus. And as a result, each time the unity between us grew and deepened.
Yeah, I want to share another important experience we had with you. This time, it had nothing to do with praying for healing and deliverance from past events, but with deliverance from a spiritual attack that came against us as a family. Esther was pregnant with our first child, but just before the birth, the baby moved into a breech position with his feet first rather than his head. And the obstetrician said it was too risky to try to turn the baby at this late stage, and he said we were in for a difficult and painful birth or even a cesarean section.
So we came before God in prayer and we asked for his guidance in this difficult situation that we suddenly found ourselves in, and we felt that we should pray for deliverance. We began to go through the steps for deliverance that, as I said, we'll be sharing with you later. And suddenly I felt something moving in my stomach. It wasn't the baby moving, it was something else. And then it left me.
Yeah, and a few days later we had another checkup, and to the doctor's great amazement, the baby had moved again. And it was perfectly positioned for birth.
Yes, it was. He was, and it really was a relief. And I ended up having a very quick and easy birth after all, do you remember?
Yeah.
In fact, he was almost born in the car on the way to hospital, which we were really grateful and thankful for God that everything went so well after those deliverance prayers.
Yeah, so we like to think of deliverance prayers in terms of brushing our teeth to get rid of the bad bacteria that has the potential to destroy our teeth if you don't remove it. Brushing your teeth is something that you do regularly to avoid caries or other oral hygiene problems. And just as there are caries bacteria, which by the way are sometimes portrayed in oral hygiene education pamphlets and posters as monsters or devils, so there are also evil spirits, which the Bible also calls demons, that we cannot see, but they are just as real. And these demons attack our souls and bodies and ultimately our relationships, which is why we need to protect ourselves regularly from spiritual infections so we can remain healthy and grow.
And as we do so and experience that Jesus Christ is stronger than the attacks of the evil one on our lives, and we experience him setting us free from things like fear or pain, trauma, bondage, illness and so on, our faith grows and we are able to resist the enemy much more effectively.
So we've seen that there is a spiritual world and we will be attacked on a spiritual level in our lives and marriage, but it's also very important to know that we are by no means defenseless. Jesus Christ has defeated the powers of darkness through his death and resurrection, and he has provided us with powerful spiritual weapons that we can use in marriage to protect ourselves and to set each other free.
In the last section, we learnt that just as cuts or wounds on our skin need to be disinfected and treated to heal well, so emotional needs need to be treated to avoid a spiritual infection. And we treat emotional wounds by coming to Jesus and giving him our pain and negative reactions, and by forgiving those who've hurt us. That's how we can prevent a spiritual infection.
So what do you mean, Esther, by a spiritual infection? Can you say a bit more about that?
Well, a spiritual infection occurs when pain from an emotional wound mixes with the negative reactions I mentioned before, like unforgiveness, bitterness or hatred, and the wound starts to fester and can't heal.
So spirits can take advantage of this spiritual infection by amplifying and worsening the negative feelings such as pain, anger, resentment and hatred. For example, someone who has natural anger can control themselves and keep their anger under control. But someone with a spirit of anger will find it very difficult to manage their anger using normal strategies. So instead of controlling the anger starts to control them.
That's right. Or another example could be the person who has hatred towards someone in their life finds that hatred just gets worse and worse until they find they can hardly let go of it or forgive the other person. And when that happens, it's likely they need deliverance.
Yes, and when they get deliverance, they experience a tremendous change and can let go of the anger or the hatred or whatever it was. So we are really excited by what can change when you get deliverance and how deliverance can transform a whole marriage.
Absolutely. It really is a key and crucial tool that the Lord has given us. And it's one of, if one of us is not free in an area of our lives, it creates tension, doesn't it? And it leads to conflict and disunity between us. And so it's important to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit closely and to learn to discern the roots of a problem, and that we learn to pray for healing and deliverance where necessary. And in fact, we find that praying for healing and deliverance can resolve really many more problems in marriage than we could ever have imagined. And we see this time and again, and we're learning how to do this together on this course.
Yes, and the enemy of our souls, the evil one, he's got many strategies he uses to try to spoil our lives and marriages and to try to keep us from discovering deliverance prayers that could help us get set free. Mm. Some of his strategies to keep us from getting deliverance, they include like spreading the idea that he doesn't exist, or that if he does exist, we certainly don't need to think about him because he can't bother us.
That's very common, isn't it, that idea?
Yeah.
And really people don't get set free. And another strategy that the enemy has to keep us from getting deliverance is a confusion around the topic, a confusion around how he operates, who he is, how we can defeat him. Or we've also seen very common that the idea that deliverance is extremely complicated, you need to get specialists in to do it, and so on, and it becomes such a complicated issue. And we've also seen that many people don't get set free because they have a fear of the devil or demons, and they, you know, they just, that fear in itself stops them from finding out more and equipping themselves to get set free from things that are spoiling their lives.
Yeah, but the important thing here is that we understand what he's trying to do and know how to fight against him effectively. We need to demystify, really, deliverance so that it becomes something totally normal and natural, like brushing your teeth.
Demystify deliverance, yes, I like that. I think that is the point, and that it becomes something natural and normal. And you know, Dan, it's wonderful, a wonderful thing when we can pray for each other as a married couple, and when we can see other people learning to do that so they can get set free from all kinds of things that wear us down. And that's one of the reasons, among other things, that God created marriage, I believe, as a place where we can pray with each other and for each other and grow strong and become effective in the kingdom of God.
Yes, it really is so wonderful when you can help each other to get set free. The fact is that we can see, hear and feel is not all there is. It's important to keep this in mind when it comes to identifying any problems we face in our marriage and to choosing the right prayer tools and other options to move forward. Let's read something from Ephesians 6:12, which the Apostle Paul has written. We read there, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms."
So what is Paul saying here exactly, Danny, that as well as good spirits or angels, there are also evil spirits, aren't there?
Yeah, exactly. The Bible describes them as fallen angels. In other words, angels who were originally good, but then fell away from God and are no longer in his service today, but they fight against him and against us humans and attack us humans. They want to bring us down and keep us from being with God forever. The highest of these fallen angels is called Lucifer or Satan, and many believe that he was once an archangel like Michael or Gabriel.
So what we've now seen is that the unseen world is no longer just one spiritual kingdom with God and his angels, but there's a second spiritual kingdom where fallen angels have gathered around Satan.
Yes, exactly. And they are in fierce opposition to the kingdom of God in the hope that they can one day defeat God's kingdom. But through the death of Jesus Christ, Satan was disarmed. We read in Colossians 2:15, "And having disarmed the powers and authorities, God made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross."
That's a great verse. What does that verse mean for us exactly as married couples, for others listening, that God has disarmed them and made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them on the cross, by the cross?
Well, what it really means is that a husband and wife, we can disarm these principalities and powers in the same way and triumph over them through our faith in Christ Jesus, who is our Lord. And we will look at exactly how to do this later, but I want to talk a bit more first about our authority we have in Christ and the power of his Holy Spirit. Let's read something from the Gospel of Luke in chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, where it says, "When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick." And through Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down after Jesus had gone up to heaven, this same power and authority was extended to all of us who follow Christ. For example, we also read in James chapter 6, verse 7, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
That's incredible. We have power and authority, and we can submit ourselves to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from us.
Yeah.
Have you got an example of that?
I mean, when we pray for each other for healing and deliverance, we are resisting the devil and his influence on our lives in a given area. I would like to illustrate this with the example of a young couple we met years ago in Argentina. When we first met them, they were not married, but they had small children and were a happy family. But the man didn't want to get married because his own parents had had a difficult marriage and ended up divorced, which had hurt him a lot. And from what he heard from his parents, things had started to go wrong between them shortly after their wedding, and the children had suffered as a result. And so he had a fear that if he and his girlfriend were to get married, their love for each other would quickly die and fizzle out. So he recognized that he needed healing and deliverance from the pain and painful memories that were stopping him from getting married, and so we prayed together. And the amazing thing was, after the Lord healed and set him free, you remember, Esther, he proposed to his girlfriend, and they are still married to this day.
That's right. And that's a great example of how trauma or hurt or painful memories and our reactions to what has happened to us in our lives can open the door to a spiritual infection, and then a spirit coming in and reinforcing negative feelings and thoughts and setting up a stronghold that keeps us from all that the Lord has for us. What other possible open doors are there for spirits to come into our lives or into our marriage apart from hurts and our reactions to hurts, Danny? Could you say something about that?
Yeah, of course. I mean, the second common open door or window for spirits to come in and attack us is sin. If we keep on sinning when we know it's wrong and don't repent or make an effort to turn from our sin or ask forgiveness for our behavior or attitudes, then we make ourselves vulnerable and give the enemy access to our lives and our marriage. So that's another reason to deal properly with sin in our lives.
That is, and we looked at that in the third section of this course together on overcoming sin. Another open door for spirits to gain access to our life is an unusual one perhaps, but we've seen it a lot. And it's when someone dominates, controls, or manipulates us or tries to do that, and we don't feel free. So if we don't feel free from someone, this could be an ex-partner, or it could be someone else who has manipulated, controlled, or dominated us in some way, then we're likely to need deliverance from spirits working through that person to try to oppress us and stop us living that life in abundance.
Yeah, and we can also have an open door through our bloodlines. And let me explain that a little bit. Yeah, we can inherit natural things from our parents and grandparents, like the eye color or body size and so on. But we can also inherit spiritual things from them as well. For example, we can inherit a tendency towards a certain addiction or a spirit, for example, of rage or unforgiveness or adultery, which drives us towards those same sins.
And interestingly, we can also inherit the effects and memories of trauma from our forefathers. For example, we've often seen this in children whose parents experienced war. So people can need healing and deliverance in those areas of inherited things from the past family as well. We've mentioned some of the open doors that can allow spirits into our lives. There are obviously others, but Danny, how do I know, or how can someone know if we have a spirit and need deliverance, or how can I know if it's just a bad character or whether I'm just dealing with normal emotions? I mean, everyone can get angry, right, and doesn't necessarily have a spirit of anger. None of us are perfect. We're all working on our character. So how can I tell? Is it a spirit? Do I need deliverance? Or is it something natural and normal?
Well, that's a very good question. You see, we may not immediately realize that we are under the influence of an evil spirit, but we need to understand that an evil spirit is a separate spiritual being without a body. It's not part of us. And so one way we can tell that a demon may have come into our lives and we need deliverance is that we just don't feel quite ourselves in a certain area of our lives. People often say to us that it is as if something has come over them that is not part of them, and they don't feel quite in control, or they just don't feel quite themselves. And others describe feeling as they are fighting against something with all their might, but they just can't seem to overcome it.
Thank you. That's very helpful. And we invite you now to pause for a moment and reflect on the following question. In what area of your life do you perhaps not feel totally free? Or where do you not feel quite yourself when it comes to your reactions, your thoughts, or your habits?
Well, we are in the last part of this five-part marriage course, and we are talking about how we can learn to pray for deliverance for each other in marriage.
We've seen how if one of us is not free, it affects our marital relationship. I think we can all agree on that. And however, although we've become one flesh by entering into the marriage covenant together, we're still two individuals, and so each of us still has a separate will. So when it comes to praying for deliverance in marriage, our individual wills must be involved. We have to want to be set free.
Exactly. So let's look at the deliverance prayers together now. Esther, could you explain the first step to us?
Sure. So the first step of the deliverance prayers, there are three steps, is to tell Jesus what you want to be set free from. You can simply say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I want to be free from," and then you can say it. You can name what you want to be free from. So for example, "Dear Lord Jesus, I want to be free from fear," or "I want to be free from control," or "I want to be free from this compulsion." And you can state clearly and exactly what you want to be set free from. And being specific about what we want to be set free from helps us to focus and be determined that we will no longer tolerate this spirit or any sin associated with it in our lives. And as we said before, we want to be desperate to be free. If we're not convinced and we just sort of pray half-heartedly, we won't get set free.
No, you see, God really respects our will, and our will has the power to determine our present and our future, isn't it? So if you want to be set free, the enemy loses his hold, but if we are half-hearted, he will hang on hoping that we don't really mean it and that he can stay. So once we've engaged our will and told the Lord what we want to be free of, what's the next step, Esther?
The second step, the next step, is to clarify and deal with guilt. So it's important to clarify where the enemy has a right to be in our lives and to remove those rights so that there is nothing more that the enemy can hold on to in a given area of our lives that we're trying to deal with. So we remove the enemy's rights to be in our lives by repentance and forgiveness, principally. So if a spirit has come into our life through what someone else has done to us, we need to forgive that person. And you can say simply, "I forgive so-and-so for what he or she did to me." And again, you can say what they did and you can say their name. But if it's your fault, something that you have done that's allowed the enemy into your life to gain access in that area, then you can ask Jesus to forgive you for opening the door to this spirit in your life. So you can say, "Dear Lord Jesus, please forgive me for what I did or what I said or what I thought."
Yeah, and this step is really very important. And in fact, we've never seen anyone set free without repentance and without forgiving those who have wronged them. So we can come to the third step. And what do we do in the third step? We can command the evil spirit to leave in the name of Jesus Christ. And you can say, "I command the spirit of whatever it is, like fear or anger, to leave me in the name, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ." We mentioned earlier that an evil spirit is a spiritual being without a body. Therefore, when we command the spirit to leave us, we will often feel it show itself in our body briefly before it goes. So for example, we may suddenly feel a pain in somewhere or a pressure in our head or on our chest. Our feet may feel heavy and so on.
That's right. And we may also feel the negative emotions associated with the spirit, such as the fear that it was magnifying or the anger that it's been increasing in our lives. Don't worry if this happens. This is just the spirit showing itself before it goes. So just keep going. Keep your will engaged and keep on commanding the spirit to leave you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
That's right. Continue to pray in this way until the physical manifestation or the negative emotion you felt has gone and you feel free. You may also experience a sudden peace, joy, or lightness in your spirit when the evil spirit is gone.
That's wonderful when that happens, and to see that happen in your partner or for your partner is wonderful. But apart from feeling that something has left us, how else, Danny, can we check to see whether we need to pray some more or whether a spirit really has gone?
Well, there are a number of ways you can do this. For example, if you have prayed to be set free from a spirit of unforgiveness, you can think about the person you were unable to forgive and see whether you can forgive them now. Or if you pray to be set free from a spirit of intimidation, working through another person, think about that person. Do you still feel intimidated by them? If the spirit has gone, you should feel a change. But having said that, there are other cases where you don't experience an immediate change. But over the next days, you begin to notice that you react differently in certain situations than you did before, or you're able to control your thoughts better, or you realize you slept through the whole night peacefully without any nightmares.
That's right. So whatever it is that you were praying about, you should see a change in that area. After we've gone through the steps, the three steps for deliverance have been set free, it's really good to take time to thank God for what He's done for us and to ask Him to fill us afresh with His Spirit, with His Holy Spirit. And we can say, "Thank you, Lord Jesus, for setting me free. Fill me afresh with your precious Holy Spirit." And you can just begin to worship and to thank Him.
Yeah, exactly. So we have looked at the three steps of the deliverance prayers. As you can see, it's very simple but very effective tool which you can use to deal with the spiritual dimensions of issues that are negatively influencing your life and marriage. And we really want to encourage you to use these prayer steps at home again and again to set yourself and each other free. And you can start using them to pray about what you identified earlier in the exercise we did, where we reflected on areas where we don't quite feel free. And you can use them whenever you realize that one of you is not free in a certain area. The deliverance prayers are a powerful tool to keep coming back to again and again.
The deliverance prayers that we looked at here in this section are one of five key prayer tools that we've discovered together in the Healing Marriage course. And I just want to recap on what the other prayer tools are, that we had the forgiveness prayers, we had the hurts prayers, the reactions prayers, the memories prayers, and the deliverance prayers today in this section. And by the way, you'll find similar prayers for children and teens in our book, Parents Empowered, if you want to pray for healing and deliverance with your whole family.
Exactly, and as we near the end of the course, we want to finish by talking about how to combine the different prayer tools for the best results. Because sometimes we just need one prayer to deal with an issue, but we have found that we often need to use a combination of the different prayer tools if we want to get totally healed and free. So, how do we know as to which prayer tool we should start with?
Well, we need to look close in each situation, obviously, to see exactly which prayer we need to start off with. But I could give you some examples. If one, for example, if one of you has been hurt, then you can pray the hurts prayers together. And if one of you has reacted wrongly to a hurt, like for example, by saying hurtful things back, then you can pray the reactions prayers. If one of you has painful memories that are bothering you, need healing, you can use the memories prayers. If one of you or both of you have sinned, you can use the forgiveness prayers and help each other to put things right. And if you see that you or your partner are not quite themselves, or you just don't feel free in an area of your life, you can't quite overcome something, then you can pray the deliverance prayers.
Yeah, and in each case, we need to look and see what else is needed. So, for example, do we still need deliverance or still need healing of hurts? Or maybe we need to deal with our wrong reactions? And if you do, you can just go on to pray those prayers.
That's right. And so you'll find all five prayers and some extra prayers as well in our book, The Healing Marriage. And we encourage you to get a copy if you don't have one yet, to work with at home and to be able to refer back to again and again. And you can order The Healing Marriage book from your usual bookseller. And as you practice using these prayer tools, your confidence to pray for healing and deliverance for one another in marriage will grow. The more comfortable and natural it will feel for you to pray for one another in this way, we believe that you will love what you see the Lord doing in your lives and in your marriage as a result, won't you?
Yeah, absolutely. That was certainly our experience and why we are so excited to have been able to share the prayer tools with you on this course. We have experienced a lot of breakthrough in our own relationship, haven't we, Esther?
That's right.
And we pray that as you step out and begin to use them for yourselves, that you too will experience how the Lord sets your marriage free.
And may I also just say that if you are not quite ready to begin to use the prayers together, don't worry, we encourage you just to start using them on your own, and maybe you can share your experiences with each other, and you might want to start then at some point to pray for each other later on as well.
That's right. The important thing is to start somewhere and do what you can. So let's have a summary of this section on learning to pray for deliverance. We've reached now the end of this course. In this section, we looked at the reality of the spiritual world and how it can influence our marriage and the need for deliverance. And we looked at three powerful steps that make up the deliverance prayers, which you can use to set each other free.
That's right. And as you said, we've reached the end of the course, and we trust that the material, the exercises we've gone through together have encouraged and helped you. We invite you to visit our website over at Bethesda-Heilungsdienst.ch, where you can also check out and order resources like I mentioned, our book, The Healing Marriage, or The Healing Marriage Workbook, which has exercises and worksheets to go with many of the areas we've touched on in the course. And you can also write to us and let us know how the material has helped you. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you very much for listening, and God bless.
God bless.